Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
Well, all right, welcome back to the Survival and Basic Badass Podcast, Kevin and Chuck. Today, well, I thought we'd take a different tack and tackle the apocalypse, because really, preparing for the end of the world, what's really more than the end of the world than the biblical apocalypse, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that kind of sounds like, you know, fire, brimstone, all of it, right?
All the stuff, man.
All the stuff. Now, I don't know. Some of the, I know I got a fair amount of atheists that, that listen to this show and, you know, all the different types, you know, everybody to each their own, and that's all mm-hmm. cool. But remember, just before you get all, oh, Chuck, you're so crazy, you do listen to me talk about aliens. I'm just saying.
Right. We talk about all sorts of stuff that's off the wall, so I think it's all right.
We're in one more segment of, well, maybe on the outside of the curve, this might happen too. So it's one more level of preparedness, and you may just be entertained. Who knows? I might be able to pull something off. I'll try and avoid just reading scripture straight through, and we should be all right. So Kevin, what is it? What is the apocalypse? Like, so I guess kind of, you know, it really, we get it from, Revelations, the last book of the Bible, right? Right. Now, I think people comprise the full details from, there are three different books that it seems to come from. I mean, maybe four. So you get a good bit in the prophecy books from Daniel, from Isaiah,
right,
from Matthew in the New Testament, and then Revelations. Now, Revelation
was, touches on it too.
Yeah. What was by John, and John, they're not even sure which guy. I keep hearing different opinions on which guy did, but they believe that he was one of the disciples, right?
Yeah, supposedly, and most people believe it's one of the disciples. There's a minority that think John of Patmos was a different guy altogether.
Right, and that's it. And this was basically a vision that he had talking with Jesus, actually talking to him. And Revelations,
right.
Jesus talking to him, and it was basically a letter to the different churches, and kind of warning them of where they're at and what things might come and why that could be an issue.
Right.
So that's where it all comes through. And then prophecy always throughout scripture had talked about a return of Christ and that kind of thing. And basically people going to be with God. Right. And that was the big thing, you know, the underlying theme that seemed to be recurring throughout. And so anyway, basically, what do you think? What do you know about all this, Kevin?
Well, I think it's been a thing for a while. You know, it's been growing up. That was a big thing. And in a lot of the Pentecostal and evangelical churches, it was a big thing talking about the end days you know, it was always, you know, there are always people like coming to the church to like, they had special insights on this and that. And, you know, you can read Revelations and come up with a million different things out of it, you know,
all day,
or you can just read what it actually says and just assume that everything word for word is what it means. You know, there could be things, you know, a lot of metaphors in there, a lot of stuff that, you know, different colors that symbolize different things, different churches that actually symbolize different time periods going mm-hmm. forward through history. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff there that people read into, and there's a lot of stuff there that's just, you could just take it for face value.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's stuff that you're just like, I have no idea what that means. And right. I think some of that is meant to be, I mean, kind of like with prophecy, with different things, is a lot of, sometimes it's revealed to you when it matters. You know what I'm saying? Like, it might not make sense to you or be obvious right now, but when it's relevant and time, it might be like, oh, this is where we're going with that. So I don't know. I seem to remember, like you said, it seemed like back in the day with the churches, you used to always have like guest lecture things or things people would put on, things where they're sure of their whole prophecy thing and they're going to explain it all. And like you said, you know, Ozzy was going to bring us all to hell. And, you know, I remember there was that movie Trick or Treat. I don't know if you ever saw it. It had like Gene Simmons, or I think, was in it for a minute. And anyway, it had Ozzy in it. And Ozzy played a preacher, and Ozzy was always on there going, you're all going to go to hell. And he's holding the album covers like, oh, look, they're all bad. And it just, you know, that's kind of what people, you know, come to mind when they talk about, you know, oh, you know, Revelation in the Bible. That's the fear. And everybody like recoils and is like, ooh, you know, I don't want to hear any of that. I don't need it. And whatever, and that's fine. And, you know, to each your own, right? Let's, we're just giving you another take and another thing to kind of prepare for and kind of understand. And I would say understanding, you know, I don't even know what percentage of the population anymore, and where they're coming from probably wouldn't hurt you. That's, you know, we're talking about probably, what would you say, maybe a third of the population believes in Christianity, or where are we at this point?
Right. I think in the United States, we're closer to 65-70%. Worldwide, obviously, it's a big difference. You know, there's a big difference there, especially when you get over to Europe. There's a lot of atheists, a lot less Christianity in Europe, obviously a lot less in the Middle East and Asia.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a sliding scale of how much people believe or accept it, you know, how committed you are to the whole thing. I don't mean percentage of the population, but out of that percentage that acknowledge some kind of Christianity, you know, how committed they are to that idea, right? Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's kind of dig into the meat within the nut. Now, whenever you see, like, I know as a kid, when we'd see these movies or stories about it, different things, it would be, they'd always talk about, you know, one, the rapture, right? So what's that? Now, I guess throughout scripture, I know in Matthew and in Revelation, they talk about God calling his people home. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point they do describe it as, you know, he comes in the clouds, and you know, there's the verse about two people will be working in the field and one will, you know, be disappear and called up to God and the other one not. Mm-hmm. And there's a scripture that I was looking at that talked about, you know, those who follow and adhere to God's word are going to be spared a lot of these tribulations and, you know, are not appointed for judgment and that kind of thing. And you won't be called up. But so one of the things, the key things here that you take away from this book is that, you know, the Christians will be called up to heaven and they'll be raptured is the word that a lot of people use. I don't know how people take a different word, different thing on it. So they might be disappeared, but there's a lot of other judgments and things that go on and a lot of things that happen that talk about biblically. And I kind of wanted to lay it all out because I wanted to do another episode where we talk about how to prepare for these judgments, you know, specifically. But if you have no idea what I'm talking about, it kind of makes it fall short, you know. Now, Kevin, do you have any kind of timeline? I do, if you don't, but
yeah. Well, let's go. Most of this is from Matthew 24, where Jesus talks specifically about, you know, about what's going to happen and kind of the timelines, right?
Right. Now, hang on. Let me stage it. So this is called like the Olivet speech kind of thing. So this is when at the Mount of Olives, Jesus is gathered with the disciples kind of at the end times, I believe, you know, the end of his life, right before he's crucified, right before Easter. Or, you know, Passover is what we really call it, not for, we'll stay away from the other. But, and he's talking to him and he's like, hey, this is what's going to happen. This is things to come. And so, all right, sorry, had to set that up.
Right. So, all right, first thing he touches on is wars and rumors of war. Ooh. So, you know, I mean, I guess you could look at it right now and say there's, you know, a war going on in Israel. There's a war going on in Ukraine. But, you know, there have been time periods in our past where there have been a lot more war than what's going on right now. You know, there was
100%.
70 years ago. There was, the whole damn world was going to war, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, and a lot of people during the First World War were actually talking about this as a prophecy.
As a biblical, you know, end time. Yep, right. All day.
Mm-hmm. Next thing he hits on is natural disasters, earthquakes and things like that.
Yep.
Yep. Increase in persecution of Christians.
Yeah. Martyrdom. A lot of that, people being kind of forced to defend their faith kind of thing. And, yeah. You know, now there is a lot of that going on against the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. As a whole, but not necessarily Christianity so much as yet.
No, really.
Society, we do kind of, people look down and shun Christians because they definitely set themselves nerds up for a bad taste in the 80s, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. When what was the satanic panic when all the, you know, everyone was scared their kids were going to get abducted by devil worshipers and stuff, but, you know, whatever. You know, there's a lot of persecution going on with Christians in the Middle East and with Christians in China. But, you know, I don't know that that's specifically, you know, I think it's more of a widespread thing that they're talking about, that Jesus was talking about. Yeah. The next one I've got here is false prophets. Mm. False prophets, people claiming to be Jesus, people claiming that they've seen Jesus, people, you know, claiming that they are getting divine, you know, words. Obviously, you can go to any city and find a crazy person that believes he's Jesus or that, you know, he's talking to him and that he's got, you know, special words. But, you know, there's crazy people everywhere and crazy comes in all different kinds. So, you know, that's one of them. Next one is an increase in lawlessness.
Oh.
I mean, I guess you could say that when there's no, you know, when you get arrested and they just let you right back out. That's what's going on in New York State. They just, you know, they got a guy a couple of months back. They got a guy. He was DUIing. They pulled him over.
Yeah.
Impounded his car. Let him out. He was trying to find drugs, and so he stole somebody's car. They pulled him over, caught him, let him out. And then they arrested him a third time, actually physically trying to buy drugs. It's like, you know, he wasn't going to quit, man.
It was going to be a bad night for the guy, yeah, either way.
So
that's one of those days where you should have just stayed in bed instead.
Right. Yeah. He just kept going at it, and they just kept arresting him. But, I mean, whatever, different strokes. I feel like in most states that would have net the second two incidents wouldn't have ever happened, but yeah, whatever. Now Daniel says, Daniel 12:4 talks about an increase of knowledge during the end times.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because I feel like this is the age of information that we're in.
This age. Yeah.
Right.
I agree with that. I think that is kind of a unique time thing. Like, I agree with you, everything you've said, And I don't have any, I'm not going to drop any big, oh, well, this is happening now at the end of the episode. I think every description that, you know, we've gone through, the increase, everything, you know, famines and whatever, people have felt like that for hundreds of years. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a new, and, you know, I could even say thousands of years. You know, the apostles that followed Jesus actually were sure that it was going to happen in their lifetime, in the next, you know, any minute.
Right.
These things are going on. So like, I think anybody who's like, oh, well, look now, I do think there are things that make it more possible and relevant right now with the technology and with the advancements. We'll talk about, you know, the buying money and the mark and all that stuff in a minute. But I think it's a lot more possible now. Also, kind of one world government and things like that kind of get, you know, tied into now. But a lot of these things, I feel like it's always been. I think there's been periods where there's more wars and rumors of wars than there is now. I think people saw it as more earthquakes and crime, or more earthquakes and famine and disaster. In the past, you know, we had some bad times. I mean, you talk about the Dust Bowl and different things like that. Now, mind you, it was man-made, the Dust Bowl and all that. Mm-hmm. But right, just the same, it still happened and people saw it that way, perceived it, you know, as bad things coming. And, you know, the plagues that hit Israel were, you know, pretty devastating to the people. I think we see it now and it's more in your face just because we have a global news kind of thing. You know, like everything is in your face. Like, oh, there's a tornado. There's an earthquake.
Right. Well,
yeah, there is. But, it, you know, it's not really affecting you or anywhere near you or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it's brought to your attention. And so I think it makes you feel like there's more of an urgency or there's more bad things going on, you know, just in this time.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. Yeah. All right, so next one on our list is an increase in immorality. Now, I think most people, when they talk about immorality, they think about, you know, weird sex stuff, right?
It's always
that's the weird not, sex stuff. Yeah, that's not necessarily what immorality means. You know, it's anything that's immoral, you know, lying, cheating, stealing. Now, what I have noticed, though, is a solid decrease in random hookups. Really? Seems like after COVID,
don't care about sex anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. After COVID, people stopped bumping uglies. People are not going out to the bar, you know, singles bars and hitting it as much. People are talking about it a lot, but nobody's actually, there aren't very many people doing it, which, I mean, whatever. I mean, I was 21 once. I acted wild, but whatever. It doesn't seem like the 21-year-olds are still out there.
They're not as interested.
Crazy. No.
A lot of the studies and surveys report that, you know, kids just are not interested in having sex, at least with other people, or, you know,
right,
that, you know, they might be happy to look at porn or something on their phone, but nobody wants to, go meet other people in this modern, you know.
Yeah, it's gross and sticky. And
yeah. Just, people smell nasty. That. You know, who knows what's going on out there.
All right. The next one I got here is the spread of gospel to the entire world. That's Matthew 24:14.
Okay.
So now I know that people have been talking about that for a long time. And that's one of the actually weirdly, that's one of the main reasons a lot of churches support missionary trips is because they think that, you know, Jesus won't come back until the entire world knows and has a chance to say yes or no. Right. In an increase in deception and false signs and wonders.
Now, I think there is an increase in deception. I feel like more and more all the time. But again, it's more relevant now that we see the worldwide news. However, right. I don't know if we're seeing signs and miracles. I feel like there's less in that increase in corruption. We do have that.
Yeah, it does seem to be pretty rampant, at least in the United States, you know. I think that, you know, a lot of us as Americans are lens is viewed through like what's happening in our country right now
all day,
but there's a whole planet of stuff going on.
There's other people.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, you know, check out, go to Italy and see how their government works. Cause they got some corruption issues over there themselves. You know, there's a lot of places in the world. Some
corruption issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, there's absolutely an increase in corruption in the United States, or at least perceived. Maybe it's just we know about it now, and before everybody was getting away with that stuff.
Yeah.
And the final one I have here, it's not the only these aren't the only signs, you know, this is 10 of the top 10.
But all right.
Yeah. Increase in frequency of these signs. So all these things are, you know, we've talked about these. All these things are happening now. But they're saying an increase in the amount of, you know, this stuff. So, maybe it's not just the crazy person that claims to be Jesus. Maybe there's some actual people with, three-piece suits doing it, you know, coming up.
Yeah.
So we'll have to watch out for this sort of stuff. And, you know, things like this can flip on a dime, you know?
Yeah. I think that's right. So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I kind of, you know, I think we're going to circle back a little bit to more of the kind of what, but the when, you know, you're touching on this increase of signs, things like that. One of the ones I always heard when I was a kid going to church was, well, you know, the nation that sees Israel become a nation will be the one that, you know, that sees the return of Christ. Mm-hmm. There's a quote, Matthew 24:34 says, it's Jesus talking, and he says, "I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened." And one of the things he had described was, this is referencing Deuteronomy 4:28, the Jewish people would enter the land of Joshua and then would turn away and be scattered among the Gentiles, but they would regather in the latter days for the return of Christ. Now, people always said, oh, well, you know, Israel, there's kind of that homecoming of the Jewish people right. In 1948. Well, I got to say, 1948, you don't think it's that long ago. You know, it's like one of those things with the memes on the internet. You're like, right. Oh, you know, back in the 80s. And you're like, ooh, like 45 years ago? Like what? You know, that's a long time ago. It turns out if you're going to say a generation, that time is coming to an end or past. I would kind of say past. Mm-hmm. And people, I kind of looked up like what the take was on that because the church had always said, like, you know, and again, we don't know. We're not all knowing. We don't know how to, you know, interpret things through God's eyes kind of thing or however, you know, you would see it. But like, we don't know, have all the answers, right? But I would say that's not really a sign I would be pointing to if I was trying to convince somebody. Whereas that was always the thing, you know, when I was a kid, was, oh, it's going to happen. It's imminent because, you know, right, 1948, that generation. I hear it explained away because I kind of looked it up, and they explain it away as saying, well, you know, they mean when they say a return to Christ, they also mean like spiritually, because the people who have returned back to Jerusalem and to Israel are not necessarily Christian people. They're Jewish at you know, but they're not people who are like Christians or following Christ. And I think they kind of describe it as they talk about like a turning, a, you know, people following Christ and that kind of thing. And I don't think that's there. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't have all the answers. I just know that was one of the ones always thrown at us. Mm-hmm. But like you said, you know, you touched on all the other ones with the increased corruption, increase, you know, lying and stealing and sinning and wars and stuff. But I feel like that's always been going on. One of the things that makes it different for me is they also mention a lot of one world government kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They talk about there's a verse about the 10 kings that are rulers of different districts, but under one world government. I know when I was a kid, they used to preach about that as like the UN. They were so sure that was
the UN is was it. Yeah.
Now, mind you, the UN is such a corrupt, shady little organization that it kind of fits to be the Antichrist.
Yeah, you know? But they just—they really just don't have a whole lot of power, and they don't really accomplish anything. You know,
America seems to be the teeth of the UN, and I mean, I definitely wouldn't think of it as a one-world government right now, but I think people were implying that it was like a footstone, you know, a moving into that. But I do think, however, it is more likely that we're a lot closer to the possibility of a one world government. The scriptures also talk about the one world currency. Now, I think that could be just around the corner. They talk about kind of a cashless society.
Bitcoin.
And, you know, just – and. I guess the way they interpret it as cashless is they talk about, you know, there's a form of payment that, you know, you can't kind of get around, and only people who are willing to accept or be a part of that form of payment, you know, they talk about the mark of the beast, you know, that's where you get that whole 666 and the number of man and, you know, all these different things you've heard. That's what they're talking about. And I think, like you said, maybe something like Bitcoin or whatever. I think the big reason that governments push for that is obviously they you know, they want to be able to control everything you buy. And my experience is because they want to tax the crap out of you. You know,
right.
It's because they want to tax
it. Is the real. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, not really a, nobody can get away. It's nobody can get away from paying taxes.
Right. If you go and have a garage sale and everybody comes and gives you cash for everything they buy, you're supposed to pay taxes on that money.
Oh, yeah. You send that in, right?
But you don't have to because it's cash and they can't catch you. Oh, but if everybody had to come and pay, go to your yard sale with Bitcoin and stuff like that, you know, that's a different game, right? They can track that. If you're using your credit card, they know.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting payments from a credit card, they know.
They know. And they know in their heart. They know you're shaking with your lemonade stand on the corner.
Your little lemonade's charging 50 cents for a cup of lemonade. Come on.
Old out there trying to learn how capitalism works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to put an end to that. You got a permit, son?
Yep. Move along. Do you remember Shay? Shay with the lemonade stand? I don't know. There was a kid, you know, obviously me and Kevin are from the same town. And there was this kid with a lemonade stand, and he'd be out there hustling every day. Like, it was constant. And like for years, where you'd go by, he'd be out there and ready to go. And, you know, I've seen, you know, cops and everybody out there, you know, oh, got to go, you know, see him, because he was polite and respectful and awesome. And that's awesome. I love capitalism and people out there trying to do a thing. But, you know, there's a lot of states out there like crazy California and crazy New York, if you're in the wrong town, mm-hmm. that, you know, they'll shut that down. They don't want anything going on without. So, again, that's I just touch on that because that's one more sign of the world kind of being ready for that kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's, you know, I think it's really, you know, and we joke around about lemonade stands and stuff, but really anything black market, you know, buying drugs. You don't buy drugs with a credit card. You don't, you know, you don't buy stolen goods with a credit card.
Now, they do seem to have ways to work out high-end escorts with
Jerry Springer. Do you remember he used to be the governor?
Mayor, I think, of Chicago.
Chicago. That's what it was. Mayor, right. Chicago. You're right. Yeah. So. And he got in trouble because he paid a hooker with a check.
Oh.
And that's how they caught him, you know. And then he started his show and became even more famous. So there you go.
You know, there's always – and that was before, like, we had Elliot Spitzer in New York. And
uh-huh.
It's just an ugly world. And that's the thing. Like, corruption is kind of endless and whatever. All right. So we basically the mark, they talk about a time when no one will be able to buy unless they kind of, you know, take this mark and go into it. And it just seems like the world is kind of at a point where that's possible. They also talk about, you know, we really couldn't have had a global government, I would say, before the last maybe 30 years, you could maybe go back as far as 50 years. Really, I feel like the technology now, it could very seamlessly be, even the technology in the last 15 years, right. You know, you could kind of seamlessly, they talk about tracking people and hunting stuff down and that kind of thing. But you know, people have the mark. It's kind of like your cell phone that in your pocket, you have a GPS. Anybody can find anybody. Now, right now, you can leave your cell phone and walk away from it. But if it was a permanent thing, then you might not be able to walk away from it. You know, you put a chip in your hand, it gets harder to get away. Now, we still have cell phones and license plate readers on the cars and every other thing. I mean, and facial recognition. China would probably make an argument that it's pretty hard to just disappear, even if you drop your you know, phone and everything with their facial recognition. I don't think we're there in America and we're sure as heck not there worldwide, but things are moving pretty rapidly.
That's right. And facial recognition is getting more and more, you know, more and more prevalent, you know, not just governments, it's corporations. And you know, any corporation that does anything like that, the government can get any information they want. You know, if the government wants to know what you've been looking at, you know, in your Google browser, they can find out. If the government wants to know, you know, where you've been, they can go through the cameras. They can say, oh, you went into Walmart. Let's you know, look through the cameras and see what you bought, see what you were looking at and didn't buy, you know, that sort of stuff. So it's, you know, it's more and more prevalent everywhere you go. And you know, the mark of the beast, they talk about it, you know, your forehead or your hand or, you know, that sort of stuff. And like you said, you can get rid of your cell phone, but what about once you have Neuralink, you know, once you have it in your head, you know, I can't wait for the day where I can start dreaming in commercials, you know, it's coming. It's coming, man.
Let me interrupt that thought with this message from our sponsor. I feel like in the future though, you would kind of have like a seamless placement of products and things. You know, they used to try it in maybe it was the 70s, could have been the 50s, I don't know, where, you know, it's like, ooh, and I'm having this nice glass of icy, you know, frosty glass of Coca-Cola. Yeah. Right. You know, or, hey, I like, you know, but you can do it. Like it used to be the subtle thing they always said with smoking. You know, they'd smoke in the movies and people would.
Oh, that's cool, man. What I was told. You are looking, that guy looks so cool with that cigarette.
The tobacco companies would pay to, hey, just have a character smoking. Mm-hmm. And I think that stuff, I mean, I don't even know how much is true or whatever. I believe that was true. But, you know, I don't have any evidence or proof of this. I'm sure you could probably Google it or whatever. But right. I do know there was a lot of smoking going on in movies, but there was also a lot of smoking going on in real life. So
that's true.
You know, if, oh, yeah, I had that guy smoking. Well, yeah, it turns out if you go into most restaurants in the 70s,
there's a guy smoking.
There was a guy smoking. You know, it's not like some mystery dark thing. It just, that's how it was, how the world was. But I think that's how advertising is probably going to shift, where you don't realize you're being sold.
Right.
And I think, I mean, hell, that's what we're seeing with the memes and social media. And I think AI has the technology to really sell you on things, you know, without you being as aware or to put, you know, effort into it, where, you know, that's everyone's like, oh, TikTok and stuff like that. And it's all in your feed. I swear Facebook even seems way more targeted as far as like trying to shape my opinion than TikTok does.
Right.
Which maybe TikTok's just better at it. You know, they do it and I don't realize it as much. But who knows? You know, I don't know. I just, because I feel like it's less relevant than the stuff that I see on Facebook or whatever. If I, you know, Facebook Reels or something pops up, it's a bunch of like Korean people or something. And I'm like, I don't even know what's going on. Like these weird, like maybe it's South American, but I feel like, it's Korean characters with like soap opera stuff. Oh, you worked for this company and secretly you're a millionaire and the woman never knew and, you know, whatever. Right. And their family hated them. And I see these dramas like unfold and I'm like, why is this even anything I would care about or relevant to me? And I'm like, do better, AI, do better. Right.
Figure this out.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Now, real quick before we move on, you talked about Korean soap operas.
Yeah, sure.
I was looking through some pictures, and we were talking about Jesus coming back, right? Jesus coming back on the clouds and coming to call up his children. And we've all seen pictures of white Jesus, and we've all seen pictures of black Jesus. We've seen pictures of Jewish Jesus. But if you ever see the pictures of Korean Jesus, he's like, they have him stacked, dude. He is like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Pumping Iron.
Yeah.
He is massive. And I don't know what the thing is with Korean Jesus, but he's like, he's been just bulking on protein and creatine and loading up, man. So just watch out, you know, watch out for Korean Jesus. Cause he will yoke you up.
So you might want to be in the States where we have kind of a softer, easier Jesus.
A gentle white Jesus or black Jesus, right? Town,
you might get something a little more than you're, you know, bargaining for. So, yeah, all right. I see that. I see that as something to look out for. I don't know. I think to just, oh, well, that's religion and I hate religion. We better shun away from that. I think that's where people get. And being aware of what's going on in the world. I mean, one of the things I feel like that's always kind of played out to me is it seems like even though the religious Christian people are like, well, it's a little far-fetched. I don't know if I accept all that, you know, that fantasy stuff. I know a lot of pastors won't even really preach on Revelation. One, because as you touched on in the beginning, it's very open to interpretation, right? Like I can have my opinion of how it all might play out, but I definitely don't think that it's, you know, that this is absolute. There's no way that I'm, you know, that anybody else is right. It's got to be the way I see it. And I think that makes it a hard thing to address. But what's weird is I feel like the powers that be, you know, we always talk about that there's elites somewhere, the Illuminati, the, you know, whatever secret cabal, the Skull and Bones and all the different people who are controlling the world from behind the Masons, right? We had the big fight on.
It's actually the Masons. Yeah.
Right. of who is doing it. And the Masons are guys out there who are Masons and are like, it's not us. We didn't do it. And whatever. And, you know, whatever. Everything is, you know, your own opinion. I'm not out to judge. I think there's actually a scripture that says, I choose to wait for one who makes a right judgment. Because it turns out I'm not all-knowing, and it's not my job to control your life or tell you what to think. I'm just putting information out there. It turns out you decide your own destiny, right?
Right.
That's how it goes. But what I was getting at is all these powers that be, the guys behind the scenes, a lot of them seem to believe that this might play out. And that's what's weird and kind of spooky is – they're working under the premise that this might be. And a lot of people seem to think that the reason we've been hearing about aliens and the government, you know, I know they've kind of stepped back a little on this, but that they were talking about aliens are real maybe, and there's all these UFO sightings that we can't explain, and there are people from other planets and whatever. A lot of people in the hardcore kind of conspiracy end of things believe that they're kind of looking to set up a cover story for the rapture, right? When Jesus calls home his people and all these people disappear, a lot of the people who go into the conspiracy theories seem to think that maybe the government is setting up that UFO thing to be able to explain away a mass disappearance.
Yeah. Now I know that there's a lot of rumors about nerds in the Pentagon.
Sign of the end times right there. Rumors. So
yep.
Saying
there's a lot of rumors about the nerds, the older nerds in the Pentagon talking about how they don't want to have any relationship with aliens. They want to keep it out of pop culture because they're actually demons. You know, and they fully believe that, and interacting with them is against the, you know, God's will. So I don't know if those are people you want in charge, but they are the people in charge. So regardless, that's how it goes.
Right. But I guess that's the thing is, well, some of the people making decisions for you actually believe the things in the Bible might be playing out and are preparing for that.
Right.
And I just think we would maybe be remiss, I'm not even sure of the right word here, if we didn't consider and weren't aware of what's going on around us. Because whatever happens, you need to be aware of what people are thinking and what motivates their agenda. That's part of the whole prepping thing. So there are a lot of things that kind of come up with this that you could really need to prepare for. And I'm just saying, I feel like we need to do an episode and lay some of these out. Now we're talking about comets hitting the earth. We're talking about it raining hailstones and blood. That's probably not a good thing. All the ocean, or first a third of the world, the water turning bitter from a comet attack. These are things. Oceans turning to blood, and then later all the rivers and springs turning to blood.
Yeah, I would store some water, you know, in preparation for the apocalypse.
Storage may be the answer for you. You know, when they talk about, I don't know, dude, there is tons of stuff, and we're going to dig into it. We're going to lay it out. We're going to come up with how to prepare. And I'm just saying, these are things you might want to look at. So, that's probably enough for this week. I feel like we laid out how, you know, what Revelations is all about, the kind of biblical thing. There is a lot going on. There's prophets, there's, you know, end time witnessing. There's all kinds of stuff that I didn't really touch on. I feel like there's a lot of preachers out there that if you want to dig into it, but I think you see how it fits into our world. And I think you see how it could play out and shapes up.
All right. But, and, you know, before we wrap up, though, I just wanted to mention, you know, if you've got Jesus as your you know, personal Lord and Savior. And you're saying, I don't even have to worry about this because I'm going to get raptured up.
Good news, good news.
That's not the facts, though. It doesn't actually say that that happens before the tribulation. If you are a Christian, you might be stuck through a lot of the, lot of this.
Before, it could be mid, it could be any time. No man anytime. Knoweth the hour, Kevin.
That's right.
No man. So anyway, you guys have thoughts, concerns, things you want to hear about. You want to tell me to never mention the Bible again because you're so delicate that you were offended and you couldn't even stand to hear it. Let us know. Maybe this doesn't have the place on this show. That's your concern. Let us know. And then again, I would say it is our show. So
yes, so we can do whatever we want, right?
Grown men, we make our own decisions, right?
You're not the boss of me.
That's it. So anyway, that's what we got. Questions, concerns, email us at preppingbadass@gmail.com. You can sign up to the email list at preppingbadass.com. We also have cool gear, t-shirts, things you can get. Check it out there. Also, I did mention I will be live at Prepper Camp in September. You can go to preppercamp.com if you want to meet the man in person. Kevin, maybe, probably not is what it looks like, but I'm trying to motivate the guy to come out. Maybe if there were enough requests, Kevin might be able to change his lifestyle. I don't know. He's an important man. That's the thing. You can't really get that guy out of New York. He loves it so much. He's kind of New York through and through. You know, he wears a Big Apple shirt all the time when he goes out in town, as every New Yorker does.
As every New Yorker does. And they play Frank Sinatra's New York, New York nonstop in their car.
That's his alarm clock on repeat. He wakes up in the morning, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, with that, I would say stay safe and we'll talk to you guys next week.